I'm Chase.
And I'm Timothy.
And this is Customer Service.
Good afternoon, buddy.
Rondo, how we doing, baby?
On the mend.
Yes.
Feeling a little bit better, I think, by after the weekend. I'll be back in the gym, back in my regular flow of dumb shit I do.
Yeah.
Feeling great.
Yeah, let's do it.
But right now, just a little bit better. But yeah. I'm getting there.
Yeah, I'm getting there too. Michelle was saying last night, that she's starting to be like, maybe I'm getting to where you were. You know what I mean? She's like, throat's really getting sore. So we'll see.
I think everyone's just got to go through it.
It's power through it. Yeah.
Yeah. This is just a thing, and we're all going to hopefully do it and then be better for it. But
it's
lasted so long.
I hate it. Was so bad Monday. I broke my rule of like, I don't really do the whole medicine thing. I took one of those sinus pills. My stomach was in knots.
See, I feel like that was not the right. You got it. Like, the only thing that really seems to be working is like a Mucinex or something, which also rocks my stomach, to be honest with you. But
it just like makes it feel like how it makes me. It makes, if you hadn't eaten in like a day and your stomach is, I don't know how often I've done that, but it felt like that. It felt like my stomach was just like empty, just in a knot. But like, anyway, feeling a little bit better, brother.
Yeah.
So
at least my energy's back, and that's I just can't, being low energy in late February and having body aches, like that's a dark place to be. So glad we're on the mend here.
We're on the mend. We had a really good we had a pair of guests this morning.
Yep.
At time of recording this intro, we just finished the pod. It was Thursday. It's coming out on Thursday. So
yep, couple of new friends of ours,
yes,
the Kyles.
Sir.
So these
easy fellas.
These fellas are, you know, great guys, interesting guys, artists, guys that started this brand, newer brand, about a year old. They said Bardo. We're really excited to carry it at the shop. Kind of think it, even though they're not both from here and they don't both live here, it still feels like a Denver brand, so we're gonna call it that. But it's fun. It's cool to, like, it's just cool to be able to connect with the designers, because in most cases we're working with more like international brands, so we don't always get to like hang out and connect with the designers.
Oftentimes
we do the best we can.
Like the showroom or
you might see them here and there, but it's not quite as close of a connection. So this is really fun. I'm really excited about what they're doing. I think it's gonna grow and build into something really cool. You know, we're excited to see this next collection that we'll be getting in like they said, a couple weeks max. So we wanted to give you a taste, get you kind of familiar with the brand before it arrives. We'll still do our whole rollout thing, but yeah, wanted to get people hyped, and this was a fun conversation just about fashion in general in a really approachable, easy way.
Yeah,
you know, they're great.
I think the community is gonna like this one.
Yeah. So let's get into it. We also, just to be fair, both named Kyle. Tried to have it kind of go like a bachelor style by going by like Kyle E, you know, so that's, if you're hearing that, so that we can kind of identify, but, and they, you know, they're,
you'll,
similar guys,
the
but like, yeah, yeah, but you, yeah, but you'll get it. Yeah. It's really fun. I had a really nice time chatting with them, to be like introspective about fashion without it being hopefully too pretentious. But yeah, I think we're very aligned in like the ways we think about clothes and community and people. So this was a fun one. So, let's get into it. How do you guys know each other? Did you guys meet in Chicago? Was that the deal? I forget. I know we talked about.
Yeah, you guys have a lot of overlapping friend groups.
Yeah. We met in Chicago in an elevator, like the first week.
That's right.
Of college.
Hell yeah.
And we're from the same place. We're both from Atlanta. Didn't know each other there. We have the same name.
You guys got very similar vibes, like you. Yeah, that is a strange coincidence in life.
Yeah, it was not a business decision, which can come off kind of shticky, but like, yeah, Kyle and I met in an elevator. He was wearing a t-shirt for a gallery that I had showed some work with in Atlanta. And, you know, I had moved to Chicago. I was just like a Georgia hayseed. I had not really been anywhere. And to see like a symbol of something that I recognized felt so like comforting to me. And I was like, holy shit, what, you know about this gallery? It was an ABV gallery. And we just hit it off. And then weren't we in our like freshman survey of art history together, Kyle?
Yeah, we were in art history together. And I think, and it was nice to have like a familiar face in that like really big auditorium class. But I thought you were talking about the Snickers bar when you asked me, because you had in the elevator, you were like, where'd you get that? And I was like, oh, we got like a bunch of them in the cafeteria.
You're eating a Snickers bar in the elevator?
For sure.
Hell yeah.
Where'd you get that, dude?
So wait. So when you guys say you're from like Atlanta, are you from like Atlanta proper? You said you were kind of like a Hasty. Were you like, you guys, what was it like where you grew up?
I guess Hayseed's an exaggeration. I just say that because like I did undergrad about 7 years later than everybody else in my class. Like I held out. I did like a year or two of Georgia State out of high school and was like, college is not for me. I'm not going to spend 4 years doing this if I don't know what I want to do. So I didn't go back till I was like 24. And like I say Hayseed because at 24, I had not seen any part of the country. Like I went out to do a portfolio review in Chicago to get into art school and had never even really considered where Chicago was on a map, you know? Hell so yeah. Like for me, it was my world was very small at that point in my life. But no, like I'm out at Atlanta and say Atlanta, and then it's such a sprawling place. I technically was born in Atlanta, raised in Marietta, which is like a giant suburb, like 250,000 people outside of Atlanta. And then spent those years between college and or between high school and college in the Atlanta art scene. So I was like properly downtown for about like 6 or 7 years before going to Chicago.
Nice. I've never been to Atlanta or Georgia really for that matter, but I will say my dad's fifth wife, he and her lived in Marietta. So I got a little bit of a connection.
It's a nice spot for your fifth wife. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, good to know. Some familiarity. So
now, when you get to five, you might want to think about moving back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then great. That's our motto. It's a great place for a fifth marriage.
Yeah. When you pull in.
Yeah. Sister city to Linz, Germany. Also a great place to start your fifth try.
Yeah. Your fifth try.
I just realized it's going to be hard to address you guys because and Kyle, where are you from? I'm like, well, he technically answered. I think we're going to have to go by Kyle E, Kyle N, like the Bachelor style. You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah.
As long as I get a rose, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. You guys are going to get a rose. Don't worry. We don't tease.
No, I'm from North Atlanta, so I'm from like a neighborhood in Atlanta in the city proper. It's Buckhead, like the Buckhead Chastain area, is where I grew up. And it's, it was kind of like a sleepy part of the city when I was a kid and just like old houses. And now it's really turned into, like McMansions and, like reality TV. People think of Buckhead Atlanta as like a pretty different thing than it used to be, but yeah, that's where I'm from.
It's where all the housewives live. Real housewives live in.
Yeah.
Oh, hell
real
yeah.
Housewives and rappers are like,
yeah. Hell yeah.
Now you're in our lanes.
What's the McMansions thing? I've heard it tossed around. I guess I don't like know what is actually being said when that term is used. Is McDonald's? It has to do with McDonald's.
They're just like prefabbed mansions that are like a little bit smaller than like, you know, they're like not built to spec. And so they just like bulldoze blocks down in the city and then just put like three huge monstrosities.
And they're kind of gauche and tasteless. Like they're like, they kind of feel, this is from the outside, from somebody that did not live amongst McMansions, but it kind of feels like I have money and want to signal I have taste without actually understanding my taste.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, we have it in the Midwest. It's like, they're like big, ugly houses with like disgusting facades.
Yeah.
And then every room is just big and empty. Uh-huh. And then, you know what I mean? It's got a kitchen island. And you know what I mean? Like it just, it all looks the same. It's like that. That's what I mean. It's like copy and paste. Now guys, we made a serious mistake with Chase here because we should have let him explain to us what he thought it was.
Because I'm not sure.
There's usually a, like, There's usually a window that's out of place too. There's like a floating window somewhere that nobody can really access or utilize.
Bingo.
Yeah, cool.
It's on a ceiling.
Yeah.
I think you thought McDonald's was involved in some
I
way.
just thought, I thought, you know, and now I'm thinking about it, it probably isn't the case, but I thought, you know, maybe McDonald's had an HQ in Atlanta. They paid a bunch of people a lot of money, and over a 10-year span, they built a bunch of big houses.
Genius.
You know, but
I love the idea. Like, I've heard it thrown around, but I just, it's like, oh, what were you thinking?
You're not wrong. Like, I think that's kind of like big corporations moved into Atlanta. Coke is there, UPS is there, Porsche is there. And I
Home
think all these people
Depot,
were like,
movie industry.
yeah, I got money now. Like, what do I buy? And they're like, yeah, big house. Like, that's
Big
what I
ass
do here.
house. Big ass house with a nice basketball hoop in the front.
Yeah,
The gorilla hoop.
Yeah, that was gonna say
the
this is the ground zero for houses with a gorilla hoop where some kid who
gorilla
sucks shit at
hoop.
basketball is outside just
A
playing terrible fucks
freaking
all day.
jumper. You got that expensive ass hoop you can hang on the
Lowered
rim.
down to 7.5 feet so they can dunk.
I was gonna say this has the mini tramp in front of it, no question. Oh my God. Okay. All right. What, so when you so Chicago had to have been a pretty big jump then for you both.
For me, certainly. I mean, Atlanta's a city, but it's not a city by, I think, what we think of when we think of giant American cities, right? Like the public transit and infrastructure of Atlanta is a pretty big maze. It's not well thought out or executed, and it is a car city. So like you grow up in a place that has like 8-lane highways and you drive everywhere. For me, getting to Chicago, I grew up skateboarding and wearing skate shoes. So like my first month in Chicago, my knees and ankles hurt because I'm like trying to walk a city for the first time and like, oh shit, I need support. And I had to like switch shoes. Like riding public transit was intensely new for me, and very exciting. Like I was like, oh, this is a big kind of system that I have no experience with. I don't know what Kyle E thinks about it, but for me, it was shocking. It was very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I moved from Indiana to there, and it was a, I mean, that's still, I mean, it's a similar situation. I mean, more rural. So it's
Oh
like, so it's definitely
man.
like, it was like a big, I mean, I'd been there a lot growing up because that's where we'd go to kind of see like concerts, they've real concerts. That's where you kind of have to go. That's where they were, anything close. So I'd spent time with it that way, played shows there a couple times, things like that. But it was still like, until you've like, Chicago's also kind of tricky in the sense that like, you kind of have to live there to really get it. I think like it's hard to be like a tourist in Chicago because I know the parts you're going to go to and you probably want to go to them as a tourist, but that's not, it's so like neighborhooded that you have to kind of like be there for a little while to sort of understand all the different parts. What part did you guys live in? I think you've told
Totally.
me before.
Yeah, I was in Logan Square for the most, like Logan Square and over by shoot, what's the name of that park? It was kind of, they used to have the
With the
Riot
zoo?
Fest in it.
Oh,
No, not with no.
Humboldt? Not
Humboldt.
Humboldt. Yeah, Humboldt.
I lived over by Humboldt Park,
Okay, so I know
in
so
Logan
I lived in
Square.
Humboldt Park proper, but I was like on the edge of what do they call that? Ukrainian Village.
Oh,
So I was like on
cool.
that side, but I was like right on the like dividing line between the two neighborhoods.
I looked into some like kind of legacy, because my move up there was very shotgun. Like I flew up there, did my portfolio review, and they were like, hey, you can have this scholarship, but you got to make a decision by in 2 days if you want it or not. The semester's already started. So like I paced around Chicago frantically for 2 days, stressing out. And then I said yes. I changed my flight. I like did a week of class, flew back, packed up my studio in my apartment, and drove up in a weekend, not really knowing where I was going to live. And I somehow lucked into this kind of legacy art school loft that had been passed down from student to student over like a span of like 12 years. I lived at the corner of. I lived at the Division stop on the Blue Line, right across the street from the Jewel.
Okay, so this we've talked about this because I've definitely gone to a party in that apartment. And you're right. It had been like I went to a party at like when I first moved there and then when I was like older, because I was there for I was in Chicago for quite a while. just different sets of people, but it's kind of the same. It was the same always. You know what I mean? It was the same vibe.
Same brand. Yeah, for sure. And I can't, it's funny because that spot was so great. And I have like so many great memories of Chicago living in that spot. But I do really feel like I missed out on, because it is so neighborhood centric, that I didn't get all of the flavors that I could have. Yeah. Like, but it was a good deal and it was comfortable and central. And I just stayed there till I left. But I mean, really would have loved to live in Pilsen at some point.
Yeah, I mean, Pilsen was kind of on the come up when I left, and I'm sure it's like, I mean, it's like all those things. It's like Logan Square, when you would have been there, I imagine, that would have been at like the height of like, that's where you put the overflow of artsy college kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like, and it was really cheap. Fun. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was like so fun. I spent a lot of time there. That blue line stop I know very well. But also like Pilsen was kind of like going in that direction when I was leaving. So I'm sure it either went through its renaissance or is in it, but it was a great area. It was a really good area for vintage, really great for food.
Amazing food.
Yeah. Do you guys miss Chicago?
All the time.
Yeah, same. I love it so much. But I'd also kind of don't want to live there again either, to be clear. Because of the weather, to be honest with you.
See, the weather never, like, it was tough when I was there, looking back on it. Like, everybody, I think, growing up made this big deal about moving to New York. And after 4 years in Chicago, I was like, actually, Chicago should be the benchmark for if you're tough, not New York. Yeah. I just took
my... Totally agree.
Yeah, I just took my girlfriend there for the first time. We went on a little trip and, like, revisited the old stomping grounds and moved around. And I was like, this is still maybe my favorite big city in the US. It's just like very livable, very accessible. Like the working class is well represented. Like, I don't know, for me, it's a different flavor than New York or LA, but it still has all the trappings of a big city. And I think it gets overlooked, which is very cool. Right.
That's why I think it's the, I mean, and just to be clear too, like I lived in Humboldt Park most of the time. I worked downtown. So I saw a lot of tourists that were coming in from different places. And every single time, if you talk to people from LA or New York, they're like, the food scene is way better here. Mm-hmm. And it's solely because, like, what you're saying is maybe LA is a little different. It's probably why it's had the resurgence it's had, especially through COVID and all that. But like, I think New York is like, you can't, the brokest person there is doing okay. And I just don't think you get the like representation of everyone in Chicago, because it's so neighborhooded, it's so affordable for a big city, that you get like such good food. Yeah. You get really unique things. Now, the segregation there is awful, but that's, you know, that's like happened in the 30s and you can't fix that now. But it's like, you can go to different neighborhoods and have an entirely different like cultural experience through food and even like club culture and shit. Like, anything you want is kind of like at your fingertips. You just got to travel a bit more for it. You know what I'm saying?
And just like the weirdness around, like, I remember one time during college, I ended up somehow, this was actually on the tail end of a night out with Kyle and some people. We were at, what's the blues bar, Kyle?
Kingston Mines.
Yeah, we were at Kingston Mines tying one on. And like, I hopped in a cab with like two strange women and ended up at some weird underground Russian nightclub with like a $60 cover charge that was definitely after hours and weird. They got me in. But to your point, like, there's pockets of culture all over the place that, you know, you do have to live there to find. Right.
It's like pretty old too. So same deal, dude. Like, it would be so many different times where like a night would sort of, we used to play this game. It's kind of like, it was like karaoke roulette is what we called it. So we would look up like karaoke bars, Chicago, and then go from worst reviewed to best reviewed. And then we would just pick one in any neighborhood we hadn't been to before. We would take like a 40-minute cab ride, end up in some weird carpeted place doing karaoke with like old school Chicago people. You know what I mean? And it would be fun because it would lead you to, like, you know, I spent a bunch, I like, that's how I know friends I still know from Chinatown. It's how I like really understood like kind of Ukrainian culture and like Polish culture and like all these like interesting things that like Chicago is really unique to. But you have to kind of be willing to like dig for it because it's old. And it, like you said, there was, it's just like when I moved here, I thought, Oh, you know, one night I was like bored and I was living here alone at the time initially while my wife hadn't left her job yet. And I was like, I'll just go walk around and find a neighborhood bar and just kind of like figure out what's going on in like the neighborhoods. And I'm like, I walked around for like 2 hours. I'm like, this, that doesn't exist. Went to like a college bar that I only realized later was a college bar. I'm like, this is very different than what I'm like, I've just gotten so used to. Cause you could just be in any neighborhood, walk the neighborhood proper where it was just houses and still find like a little corner bar. And like, I think, and I know that kind of exists in New York, but it's so much more compact and so much more like, overbuilt, where Chicago is so spread out that they're like the best Italian deli. I don't know how to explain how to get it there. It was like in, it was just in a neighborhood. It was like there was houses everywhere and just there it was. You know what I mean?
Well, that, and the residents and citizens of Chicago have protected that culture, right? Like when you go to other cities and you ask the average person, how long have you been here? Very few of them have citizens that are like, I've been here 10, 15, 20 years. Like all the people we went to school with in Chicago. Like, I think there was a pretty clear path for most of us where it was like New York or LA, or you're staying in Chicago. And people do plant roots there from when they get there as early 20 somethings and stay and build careers and networks for 10, 20 years. And I think that is what keeps that kind of place intact and livable, right? There, it's not like Austin or Brooklyn where you have people from all over the country moving in and out every single day, you know?
100%. I mean, it's like you have an, if you're, especially if you're from, cause I knew, I had so many friends that were like from there. And I don't think that that's the major case in a, at least on the whole in like LA or New York, it's kind of like you ended up there from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Chicago, you meet a lot of people that are from there. Cause there's a lot of opportunity to be like a regular person and live in a good life or, you know, and there's a lot of opportunity to like grow and expand there as well. Cause mm-hmm. being so close to the airport, it's just a, it's a unique city that like, it's so rough around the edges. It still is like a city in that it doesn't really want you there. And but when you start to like when you like shake off the, you know, the leaves a little bit, it's a I really like I felt connected to like my neighborhood, which took a long time because I'm not Puerto Rican. They don't, you know, I don't know who. And as far as, you know, it goes, like they're not interested in like having a bunch of, you know, younger white people move there. But like over time, you start to like get in. You stay there a certain amount of time. You get to know the people in the neighborhood. You start to patronize the spots that are in that neighborhood that have been there a long time. And then you kind of become part of it. And like I still like keep in touch with people from that neighborhood because it's like, you know, like I got close with it. And it's like it's like it's a pretty family oriented place outside of that. You know, there's obviously a lot of violence there and stuff. But I really like you kind of you're very invested in that city as opposed to like other places, which feels like you're kind of just living amongst people.
Yeah. And the culture there is so wild. Like the amount of art, the exposure that Kyle and I had to like art and fashion and all sorts of like cinema, like I, you know, I could not discount that on or its impact on who I am today. Right. Like that time in Chicago and the exposure to culture that we got, I think definitely has shaped the both of us.
Well, it's like a little less pretentious there, if that makes sense. Like there's a little bit more of the DIY thing going on, I guess, is what it comes down to. Whereas it's not, you don't have the maybe like New York or LA, like erudite version of, you know, art that like does exist. I mean, there's a little bit of that in Chicago, but definitely harder to break into. But at the same time, there's like so much more DIY. If you're into poetry, punk music, like whatever you're into, whatever weird thing you're into, there's like a group of people that are like trying to make it happen there pretty hard. So it's like you can find your people easy there too, I think.
And I think it's just the cost of living there because it is still rougher around the edges and it's still cheaper. You can have a regular day job and then find these communities and still have like the time and resources to invest into it and really like participate. Whereas in New York and LA, I feel like they're just kind of like the capital of barely scraping by, you know, for the most part. Like, you're just kind of putting all your energy into surviving.
What do you guys got as your, before we move on from Chicago, what do you guys got as your like top food, Chicago food situations? Or bars, because that's also important to that culture.
Totally.
That's tough. Like revisiting it, recently and taking somebody who had never been, like I gravitated towards all the old spots. Mm-hmm. And Kyle and I are kind of like low key gatekeepers naturally.
Yeah.
Like we'll hold on to the good thing, but I really loved Richard's Bar.
Hell yeah.
You'd still smoke a cig in there and eat an egg, and no photos, please. Like crazy lewd Photoshop things on the wall. And the tamale guy who would come through all the Wicker Park bars, still active, and that is never disappoints.
You guys know, actually, on that subject, because I was just, as you said, I'm like, is he doing all right? Because I know they raised money because he was sick, but I think he got the money. He got the money through, like a day. Yeah.
He was there. He was there. We were in the bar. We were in Rainbow Room.
Oh, and, thank God. Yeah. Oh, Rainbow. Rainbow Room.
We were like shocked. We ordered a bunch of drinks and it was like $14. And I was like, oh my God, this is great. I forgot how good this city is. And we're like waiting in line for the photo booth, which is still film. Yep. And tamale guy comes in. You just hear like tamale, tamale, tamale. And we dropped like $20. We got two bags of tamales and just went to town.
God, that guy kicks ass.
Yeah.
I think those are, I mean, even if you only have, especially, I could know exactly how old you guys were by saying Rainbow Room and Tamale Guy. Like, oh, I know these are my people. I know what you're talking about. Wait, who knew? This is going to be a very specific reference. This one's only for us, but who knew Haji? Which one? I forget who.
Me, Kyle
yeah.
E.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. You know, Haji, he was the nicest guy, and he would just always come through the fashion department studios and work on his own projects, but just like sit at the cutting tables and watch all of us work and like hang out. He was like an honorary fashion student. It was really fun.
He was like an honorary employee of mine, even though he did not work at the store I worked at. Like he was just everyone thought he did. He was just around, dude. Like he is like, I think about Haji a lot. Number one, because I think that he is, we were in a band together for a long time, and then he hung out at the store, and we'd, you know, just bounced around a lot together. He still to this day, I think, has like some of the best personal style I've ever seen. He always is like on board on trends. So whatever he's into now is what everyone's going to be into in like 5 years. I don't know how he's so on top of it, other than he just like, and I like always think about that dude never stopped being around. You know what I mean? He would go to, he had spots all over town. Anywhere you went with him, he knew somebody. He just like, he was just in it. You know what I mean? And I had to like adopt some of that mentality being from Indiana. It's like, it's hard to not be a home buddy, but he like really taught me like, yo, you got to kind of get out in there if you want to meet people and do stuff. Yeah. And he's a mover and shaker. He's in Japan now. He's the homie. I miss him a lot. So shout out Haji. Yeah.
Yeah. Big shout outs.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I told you that one's just gonna be for you and I, cause no one knows who he is or that specific reference, but he's great. A good dude.
Small world.
So what brought you guys to Denver then?
I moved to Denver specifically. Well, I was kind of like really burning out on New York. I was just so sick of it. And I was about to start a job at the North Face, and then the pandemic happened. And so one of my best friends from college, Jack, and he has the brand Alabaster, and he was like, the watches were like really starting to kind of like take off. And he was like, you should just move here regardless. And I need help with the watches, and you can just like, you know, I have a spare room. You can live with me until, you know, you get like work sorted out. And that's what happened. And then I started working at the North Face for a bit. But that's what brought me to Denver. I mean, it was kind of, it was sort of planned, sort of unplanned. It was kind of a shotgun move as well.
And you wanted to ski a lot. You wanted to ski a lot too. Like that was a pull, right?
Yeah, I think skiing. I mean, that was kind of the thing, was like anywhere where I was going to leave New York for, I wanted to be able to ski a lot. So it was like Denver, Portland, Northern California, all those places I was looking at for work and where I could ski. But yeah, it's worked out. I mean, I've enjoyed it. It's been one of my favorite places I've moved for sure.
That's cool. I mean, it just seems, Colorado in general is sort of like, I mean, skiing is one thing. I mean, I have no background in that, you know, being from Indiana, I guess there's ways you could ski, but nobody was doing them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
so I never did it or anything growing up. So like people are always asking like, oh, do you do that out here? I'm like, I didn't know how to do it then. I don't know how to do it now. Nothing's changed. So I've never tried. Plus I feel too old now, but I do understand like that being a big draw. And like, I honestly would have told, I could have told you if anyone would ask me would I move to Colorado in Chicago, like no fucking way, maybe New York or LA, but that's going to be it for me.
Yeah.
And, this opportunity presented itself, and it took me a little while. Like I said, like I couldn't really like couldn't integrate. You know what I mean? At first, it was just like so foreign to me, being that it was like, you know, quieter and sleepier, and there was, and then the other side that wasn't was college, and it was just like hard to like figure out. But once I settled in, like I really like, you know, the outdoors and the weather, and you know, it's safe and relaxed, and it took me a while to like chill, but now that I have, I really like it a lot. Do you guys feel the same way?
Well, I'm not actually in Denver. I hope that has not been the your thought that I've just like never taken the time to come out and meet you guys. I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
So like we do this from far away from each other, and I come in, I come to Denver frequently to like work on stuff with him or, you know, but that my impression of Denver has been like the thing that's most remarkable to me is like the community out there. Like every time I come, the first time I came out was for like Kyle's birthday, and he had been there maybe like 6 months, and there was a party in the backyard, and it was like 30 creative independent designer makers that are all running their own small businesses and all like really nice and supportive of each other. Like the creative community where Kyle lives is like truly remarkable, and the support we get from them is like really insane.
I wonder if it's because it's like a little, like it's not as probably expansive as at least a bigger city, so it's like you really kind of you find your people and that because the community isn't like quite as segmented, you really all kind of come together. Cause I feel the same way. I mean, like, I feel like it took no time at all as far as like work goes, you know, and like fashion and creative, like creative stuff, it, like to find that group of people was no problem.
It's a very tight knit community out here, but they're really open. It's funny. It's like, they're not hiding themselves. They're not, you know, it's not like really hard to find, and everyone's pretty open and just like embracing each other, which is very cool. It's a unique, it's a really unique thing to the city, I feel like. And I don't know if it's because it's like kind of on the fringe of the West and sort of like the Southwest and the Midwest. So it's like, I don't know. It's an odd thing. It's almost like a flyover city, but it's not.
In terms of friend groups and shit, we have an overlapping buddy. I saw him yesterday, and I was very happy to pull up the website this morning and see Kenyatta modeling the glasses.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
I he comes by the stew quite
everyone's
a bit.
Everyone's best friend.
He knows everybody. When you said, I was like, oh, obviously Kenyatta's part of that group. Like everybody knows Kenyatta. Yeah. He comes through here often. You know, he comes here, gives everybody a big hug. How you doing? But just wanted to give him some love real quick.
People from here and like around here are really like warm and welcoming. Yes. I mean, you like, I think that's what you're saying is you kind of have that Midwest thing, but you also get that like nice, slight hippie vibe from like that you get in LA and shit. It's like kind of nice. And like you get just, it's like a nice overlap of those two things where it's a little like Chicago in that way, which Chicago doesn't feel like New York, doesn't feel like LA, but it kind of feels like something in between. Denver's kind of this, like Boulder for us, very similar in that way that it feels like the people here are very,
very nice.
People like kids that I meet that are grew up here. They're so nice and
polite,
like, polite and like relaxed in a way that like just I don't know from where we're from. So it's interesting.
I kind of wonder if it's because places like Denver or Chicago are not places like typically associated with building an identity around. Like,
oh yeah, good.
You go to like New York or LA and you're like, I'm a New Yorker after you hit 8 or 10 years, or like I'm an Angeline. Yeah. Like there's this kind of pride in where you're at. Whereas like in some of these like mid-sized cities, which I have found, I actually prefer having like lived in big cities for a long time. There's a down to earthness because there's no expectation of how cool that place is. Right.
Yeah.
So the people end up making it cool.
Yeah.
And because they're actually in touch with their identities rather than the identity of the place, you know?
I mean, it's fair. I mean, a lot of like, I mean, brands that are from New York or LA, it's almost always their identity. You know what I mean? Like that, like it's, or it's tied in somehow.
Yeah.
And that, not that there's anything wrong with that, because I mean, those are cool identities to have, but at the same time, and I think it's like a good thing in some ways, it's a shared identity. Like everyone, like people that are from there can like relate to that. People that aren't from there have seen movies or cultural touchstones that like make you like know what those things are. So like everyone can kind of relate, but it also feels gatekept in the same way where it's like, oh, it's like a New York thing. You know what I mean? And I don't get it because I'm not from there. I haven't spent much time there or any time there, depending on who you are. So it's like it's I think it's a really interesting point to be like, yeah, like brands and people and stuff like this that start in like these like maybe some would call secondary markets like this. It's actually nice that like it's more about the people and the individuals and the communities as opposed to being like we're a Denver brand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally interesting.
And I think in the like secondary cities, there's something pretty interesting that like subcultures for the most part are still able to exist and thrive.
Mm.
Like,
oh yeah,
you know, you have like in most big cities, I think people are finding that all of that is evaporating really quickly because you have all these people that are moving there, and it takes like a certain, you know, you have to be able to afford to live in New York or LA for the most part, and I just feel like most people's interest is wrapped around like their income or what they're working, like what
yeah.
they do for work. And I feel like, again, people in like smaller, more mid-sized cities have interests that they pursue, and then they hang out with people that have common interests. It's an interesting thing. It doesn't really like, I don't actually think that really exists as much in New York or LA anymore.
Well, and they have the opportunity to pursue it, right? Because the cost of living is lower, things are more accessible.
Yeah.
Like you have the time and space to pursue the passion project or start the brand or turn your craft into a small business.
Whereas or be like in the band or just skate like with friends. Yeah.
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 Like when space is commodified, it's such a high premium. You know, your day job becomes the life because, you know, as Kyle said at the beginning, like you're just struggling to get by there. And I read something recently about like Tokyo being similar, like Tokyo being brewing all of these brands because there are opportunities for young creators and young creatives to live in an affordable, cheap way. Like there's still, you know, a $2 meal that's filling and nourishing. There's still living situations that, even if they're not like luxurious or affordable enough that somebody could spend the time working on their own projects.
Well, you can, because then it's like, I felt that way in Chicago. We were in Japan recently. I've totally felt the same thing where it's like, you can be out there in the mix without being like, I don't feel like you have to like, every time you exit the door, you didn't spend $200.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's nice to be like, I can go be in the mix. I can meet new people. I can do new things. I can get something to eat. I can go have a couple drinks and not bankrupt myself if I'm not making tons of money.
Absolutely.
And if I'm willing to like be on the outskirts of town or like travel a little further to get to the middle or whatever, I'm willing to do that. Like those cities are kind of less and less these days. And it sucks because I just think that like, that should be the cool part about it. Like, that's the draw to me to living in a city, at least growing up, was that the people that I knew that could be interested in the same stuff as me, it was tiny and I knew them. You know what I mean? I knew them all.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the 30 total people in the surrounding area, I knew each and every one well, and it didn't feel like there was any opportunity to like build upon that. Whereas like in a city, if you're, you know, younger and down to be in the mix and, you know, go be out there and be around Haji style, you could meet like so many different people and connect in so many different ways. And if it doesn't cost you more than like a couple rides on a train and like, you know, $10 for food and, you know, $5 for a drink, like you can go be out all day mixing it up. And I just think that like, I don't know, I think COVID probably killed a little bit of that. And I think the younger people just, you know, being beaten up by the prices of, and you know, everything is like, it's that's what I worry about with younger people being like home buddies. I think it's great that like younger people aren't like forming their identity around drinking like every kid I grew up with and like are being out or going out. I think that's good that like we've gotten a little more health minded and mentally, you know, focused and aware. And I think all that's like a huge positive towards like the younger generations, but they're also like, they're connecting in a very different way. And I think that's just the reality and that's okay. But it does bum me out that you just don't have as many, like, as cool as I think it is, the internet communities work and we use them to our advantage. And I think they're awesome. And the fact that some kid in rural Iowa can be like talking about like early Raf Simons, you know what I mean, to another kid in LA, that's so fucking cool. But at the same time, what I think you miss is like the kind of stuff we were talking about in Chicago where you like end up in a weird place interacting with someone you'd never interact with.
Yeah.
You don't have those like more organic things that happen that were like, yeah, if you told me now, like, hey, you're going to end up in a carpeted room doing like, you know, D'Angelo karaoke to a group of people in their 50s, I'd be like, oh, I don't want to do that. But when it kind of just happens, you're like, I'll never forget that experience. Mm-hmm. So I think like that it does bum me out that I think that like younger generations are missing out on like those more organic experiences that could happen. But I also think it's happening because like you said, like that does exist in Japan, you know, but, and it does kind of exist in Chicago still. I mean, it's been a while since I've lived there, to be fair, but I do think that's a little bit of the bummer about things like that.
The mid-sized cities give you the opportunity to be inspired and the opportunity to act on that inspiration.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for people that, there's probably a lot of listeners that aren't familiar with your brand, as it's relatively new, and maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know how long it's been around, but, tell us about like, how does that get started, and what are you guys all about? What's Bardo all about?
Yeah, I think, you know, Bardo is all about, well, it's a small brand. We've been around, for a year. And I think for us, like the brand is about building a world, and also it's built off of kind of exactly what we're just talking about. You know, these kind of like organic inspirations, and these moments that just sort of like happen, and being involved in a community and taking from that, and also just wearing clothes and making clothes and objects that we want to wear and that our friends want to wear as well.
We launched on, what was it, January 1st last year?
Yeah.
And so like we're now entering year two, and you know, the reason a lot of people haven't heard of us is because Kyle and I are terrible at Instagram.
But we're slackers.
Yeah, we're a bit slacker Luddite hybrids.
Love it.
But you know, it, to Kyle's point, like the way, you know, our journeys through fashion were so different. But our friendship, it almost, you know, I would call it a brotherhood almost. Like we're so close. Yeah. And throughout the time we've known each other, for me at least, like I was always like, I want to do something with you. And I'm formally trained in painting, and I have had a day job as an equipment salesperson for like 7 or 8 years. So like our skill sets being like completely different, I think also enabled us to work together. Like it kind of ended up making sense when, cause I this is my memory of it. And I love that Kyle referenced the Snickers bar. Cause I don't remember the Snickers bar. I remember the t-shirt. Right. So like every time we get into these, like our history stories, there's two sides of it. But I remember being like, let's do something together. Let's do something together. Let's do something together. And then finally one day he was like, I'm ready to do something with you. That took the form of fashion. Like I wore, it's funny, like when Kyle and I met, I was so broke, and I was, you know, coming from a skateboarding background, doing graffiti. Like my parents bought me Old Navy growing up. I didn't know anything about clothing. I would wear like black jeans and a white t-shirt, pair of Nikes, and then whatever dirty, filthy secondhand jacket, according to the weather. So like,
you had that same Nike windbreaker for like 15 years.
I still have it, and it's horrific. So like Kyle really exposed me to the idea of fashion, right? And like as I grew professionally and had more money, I started exploring my style. And I think just the amount of conversations that he and I had back and forth about clothing and style and what we're both into led to a pretty natural outcome of like, well, let's make the stuff we want to make, as nice as we can make it. And what does that look like? How do we satisfy that?
What are some inspirations for you guys, like fashion wise specifically?
Well, I'll let Kyle go first. Cause I'm again, like I'm not completely ignorant, but like Kyle is formally trained in fashion, you know, and knows its history. Where, and I think when we started, he told me, he was like, your greatest asset is that you know nothing.
I was just going to say like that, like, honestly, that's probably better than knowing too much at times.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I feel like, cause I've been interested in like, been drawn into fashion since I was pretty young. And I feel like I have a, I don't want to say encyclopedic, but I have a pretty good background in fashion. And the one thing I'll say is like, I will get in my head too much because you can't assume that anyone, I mean, even people that are into fashion don't necessarily care about like Phoebe Philo and shit.
I know,
you
know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's like, it doesn't like that. It's a, I think that probably fine art's probably pretty similar, to be honest with you, in that like,
Totally.
Some people are really going to care, but to be honest with you, gut is as important here as anything, or like visceral reaction to something is as important as like, hey, let me show you all the touch points of what I've done.
Yeah. Totally. The experience of an object or art is far more important than the technical prowess of the artist making it. Right. Like, but you know, I have built a kind of like mental library of things that inspire me or things that I like or styles that I like, but in no way am like I well versed in the history of like I'm reading a book about pockets right now and like sending Kyle a text every two pages like oh my god, did you know this? And he's like, yeah, I knew this, actually this is what it's from.
Well, but, I mean, look, you're on the right podcast for a group of people that listen are definitely gonna be interested in a book about pockets. It's like a one place.
But yeah, I'm interested to hear what Kyle E says about it, because you know, he too has like an encyclopedic knowledge of fashion, you know?
I think for me, like getting exposed to all of it and like learning about all of it for the last while, I've kind of like shut off a little bit of like things that I'm actually interested that are in fashion. I think for now, like, I'm really, really, I've gone back to pattern making and like, I'm really interested in this, in like the process of everything. And in college I got trained, the really like the only like kind of like technical knowledge I left college with was pattern making. And my teacher was the pattern maker at Issey Miyake from like, I think the late 70s through the early 90s.
Pinnacle time.
And she, she's incredible. And so she taught us like her method of flat pattern making, which is just like not draping as much, like making things just flat on the table.
And
I've been really interested in that, and I've been kind of like playing around with moving from flat pattern making to digital, and like just kind of finding a sweet spot with that and how we're cutting our clothes. I've gotten really interested in like production processes and like how fabrics are milled and like what kind of fabrics we're using. And then I've gotten really interested in like lamp and like light manufacturing. Like,
I've been going down this road myself, buddy. This is it really is. It's bad. And it just like fashion, you get into like convincing yourself that like a lot of money is not a lot of money so quickly.
And I can't even afford to participate in it. I'm just like going to books and museums and like reading about it and looking at it, and I've been trying to like make some lamps and things like that. But I guess like in terms of just clothing that I'm interested in, there's a quality that's like really hard to touch on, and everyone references this, but it's true, is like early Margiela. There's just something, it has to do with like the cut, the fabrics being used, the finishings being used in the garment. They just have this quality to them where they're almost like, it sounds so corny, like alive or something like that. Like,
yeah,
they kind of have a life of their own. And they seem to just like get better, which it's, and I guess that's something we're trying to put into our clothing. It's like things that are really just going to get better the more they're worn.
Yeah, kind of humanizing them a little bit. I mean, I think that's what Margiela did that like others, like, whereas, you know, look, I'm a huge Comme des Garçons fan, but that feels like art, like on its own.
Absolutely.
And it feels difficult to wear. I don't think that that's going to be a criticism to them at all. I think they understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
And Margiela was able to be cold and experimental while also feeling extremely warm and human at the same time. And there, I think it's one of the few like brands or houses that were some could land somewhere in between. And I don't think outside of, I'm a big Phoebe Philo guy, outside of that, I don't see like being able to like make minimalism or something that's cold and brutalist and shit, like, but also feel like warm at that. That's a really tough line that I just think that it's only certain really people hard. Can do. And Margiela being one of the best at it, to be honest.
Yeah, I would agree. I think putting like poetics into clothing is really hard, and you always walk a tightrope with it. I guess like that is really what we've been pretty inspired, or at least for myself, I've been pretty inspired by that. And same with I don't know, like Margaret Howell kind of does it with, and Kyle really, yeah, like
I
Kyle
love
is a Margaret Howell nut.
I love Marge. And like, I wanted to clarify, I was like, I don't want all the listeners to think I'm a total idiot about fashion, but like my experience of it is so much more organic and not informal. And
yeah,
like
sure.
my wardrobe is comprised of a lot of like vintage stuff. And then you'll get like, I'll have like a piece from La Mer or a Jill Sander thing or a lot of Marge or Bardo stuff. And I find a lot of joy in being able to like mix and match different styles into like a look or a feeling for the day. Like for me, I think it's like the one, I was talking to Kyle about this recently. I was like, I think getting dressed is like the one thing that I get to do that is only for me every single day. Right. Like, all my other interactions with things or work revolve around others, and getting dressed is kind of its own expression. But Marge is huge for me. Seeing Jill Sander in person for the first time, like, really sticks out.
I mean, she's doing maximalism before anybody else was. I mean, like, that whole trend exists because of Jill Sander, but it kind of gets forgotten because of other brands piggybacking it and doing it on top of her. I mean, like, nothing modern, in my opinion, or at least that was popular in the past 10 years, really exists if it's not for Jill Sander. And she's been kind of running it the whole time. You know what I mean?
So, yeah,
totally.
And we're both material, like, we're both very tactile material nerds. Like, we geek on fabrics, whether like I understand, you know, what makes it especially great outside of the experience of it. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But like, I think that was something that Kyle expressed early on in his design process, is like, the fabric historically tells me what to make out of this. And we have discussions about, you know, when does this silhouette that we're working on, like, it becomes finished when it's married with the right fabric, you know. Yeah. Like, we know Kyle's going to make a great pattern and it's going to drape well and be interesting. But like, how do we find the right thing to put it into that's not redundant?
Well, it's kind of like, I mean, I think that there's no, it's pretty obvious why, like, you know, Kyle, you mentioned getting into like lighting or something. I think a lot of guys get into, you know, early architecture if you're interested in fashion, because there's only really like a handful of art forms that really allow any person, like, the goal of creating it is that another person is going to participate inside it. Something we've talked about on the podcast before, where it's like, it's just, there's not that many art forms that are going, now you come and you define it from here. You know what I mean? And I think fashion's the most like tactile version of that, where you make something and you have no ability to control how someone puts it together, how they live their life in it, how they age and wear it, how they style it, how they take it apart, how they pair it with other things. Like, it becomes instantly someone else's as you sell it. Whereas, like, you know, absolutely, a painting, for example, sure, you put it in a different houses or in different collections. I totally understand that, but it's a lot more defined on how someone can't alter it from there, where it's like the vision is sort of created and ends in a specific place. And I think that's has its own merits 100%, but fashion is unique in that way. Whereas like every other art form, you sort of create it and then you give it to another person, or they take it on and it defines itself. Whereas fashion does not. It has to be allowed to like grow and change and participate in someone's life. And I don't know. I think there's something. That's why, you know, it's not too often that in life you get to sort of like truly define who you are or express without having to be vulnerable. And fashion sort of a way where I think that actually allows you to do that, where you get to sort of define the space around you for the first time. I think it's also a lot of people, because anyone can participate, and you can participate at a lot of different levels, financially or, you know, experimentally, like, you get to like start to define your lifestyle for the first time. And it's no, and I think that's what people respond to with Margaret Howell, is it's not just one thing. It's very subtle. It's not begging for people to ask questions. And it's really more about building this entire life. So, I mean, if you've been to any of her stores, they're just, you want to live in there. And she's the one that creates warmth out of coldness. That's like a unique thing. But yeah, I mean, I think that, like, from what I've seen from you guys already, it's definitely that. It's being more open to the person participating in it, rather than a lot of like brands are like, no, this is the world and you can jump into my world or jump out. But it's like a little harder to piece things together. Like, I don't always love brands where it's like you sort of buy in or you're not in at all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
because you can only wear this jacket with our pants and our shirts.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's cool in a lookbook, but not as great in the I think it's brands that like people want, but then they don't end up staying in the closet that long because it's hard, because it's like hard to make that like style or silhouette or whatever fit with like a normal pair of jeans. And like the reality is fashion has two ways of existing, in my opinion. It's like you have people who want to gatekeep it and people who don't. And I've never wanted to gatekeep it because I felt gatekept out of it for so long that now I'm like, no, I'm going to open the door. I'm going to hold it open.
Yeah.
Because I think that's just more regular. People don't wear, it's so rare that people wear one brand and truly commit.
Yeah.
Maybe they commit for a month, but that's the reality. And so when you don't do that, you have to make it work in real life. You have to be able to go do normal things in clothes. You can't always dress crazy. Or at least if you do, then like you're going to mix brands. I just think that that's the reality. So like brands that like are open to like, hey, we're going to create a world that you want to be a part of, but like we know, but then now we're gifting it to you. I think that the generosity of a vision like that is really cool. And it feels like that's the direction you guys have headed.
That's lofty. Totally. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's really sweet.
Yeah.
I do think there is something like just also from a brand strategy, I'm interested in like having the clothes become a part of people's lives. You know, I think like they're clothes to live in. And to your point, I mean, like, yeah, there's plenty of brands where it's like, well, this thing looks really sick. It doesn't even fit me that well. And I have to buy like all four things to wear this one outfit, to make it work. And it just doesn't really like, people don't keep going back to that. Which I think we're wanting to create is there's a place where you can kind of keep going back to, and wear things for a long time. I'm such a hoarder. I want to like, hold on to things, that I've like lived life in. And I think they start to really become yours. To your point, Timothy, like it was just, you know, a painting. You don't get to like have memories doing things with the painting.
No, and it's not to say that you don't interact with that thing in your own way, but it feels so personal.
So
you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, you don't buy a painting and then walk around town with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's not, hard to make new again. Like you can move the painting to another room, but like every time you put on a jacket you like with a new outfit, it changes, right? Like,
yeah, totally.
It can be repurposed and recontextualized and you know, just used in so many different ways, depending on how you're feeling that day or where you, what your goals are, who you have to dress for, you know? Yeah.
Well, it's also like, I think that it invites criticism like nothing, like no other art does because of, I don't know what really, I think because everyone has to do it. You can, if you don't want to be into art, then don't buy art. You know what I mean?
Participation.
Yeah. But whereas like, you know, like if I buy a painting and put it in my house and someone comes over, I mean, the likelihood that someone's going to comment on it, it depends on how crazy it is, I suppose. But for the most part, like it's not really what it's there for. And most people aren't going to understand it or know. So they just leave it alone. You know what I mean? You know, obviously, you get into certain friend groups, certain things, like obviously that changes. But I'm saying that like, if I wear a certain jacket into like a regular place, a guy I don't know will be like, what is that? Or like, that's crazy jacket, man. Or whatever, you know, like you're going to get like the, you know, regular people commenting on a thing. And for some reason, when they do that, they're talking to you, not to like, you know, it's like, if people are like offended by like a Visvim price, it's like, I didn't make it. I just fuck with it. I think it's good. Yeah. I'll vouch for why it's expensive. I'll talk to you about why it's expensive, but what you're mad at me about doesn't make any sense. Cause I didn't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's interesting that like, for some reason, when you put something on though, they're talking to you, not the clothes. And that's, it's just fashion's weird in that way of like, it's so much more intimate while also being not the most unintimate art, if that's a word. So it's a weird like crossroads you have in fashion. That's
And it's like the most public expression of your taste, right?
Yeah,
like
fair.
Nobody gets to look through the playlist that you're listening to. Nobody gets to like look at your Pinterest board, really. I mean, maybe they do, I don't know how Pinterest works, but like
you've heard about it.
You know what I mean? Like you're wearing this stuff out in public. So it just becomes a totally different thing.
So what do you
takes
think?
A lot of work. I think it takes a lot of work to figure out what your style is. Like I found that in my journey, like after wearing a uniform for so long, it wasn't tiring, but like you have to make a lot of bad purchases and a lot of bad decisions to figure out what works for you, what you like, the experience of putting something on. Like, do I want, you know, how do you build a wardrobe that's for you that you enjoy constantly? Is a big undertaking that I think a lot of people, you know, the average person, I don't think really spends too much time considering. Like, I was at a meeting with some coworkers this week, and like one of them had on like a pair of shoes called Hey Dudes that were probably from like a Payless or something. And I was like, she doesn't care about it. Like, she's just like, I want the black thing that's going to fit on my feet. And that's it. That's as far as that investigation goes. And that's a totally fine way to participate. But it does take a lot of work to figure out how you perceive yourself, how you convey that perception to other people.
Yeah. Well, and it's also interesting that like something like that, like you think about, like there would have been, you know, not 5 years ago, someone would have had that same response to Crocs. And now,
yeah,
now you're making a specific, yeah, now you see it and you're like, you have to decide, like, someone making a specific choice and like an opinion, like expressing an opinion, or is someone just being like, they're just fucking comfortable.
Yeah.
And I mean, you don't know. And I think, you know, so you never know with fashion of like how it's going to flip. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me in 10 years if some, you know, ringdings wearing Hey Dudes, you're not 100% sure if they're like they're doing a bit or not, you know. So it's I don't know, it's such a fickle, strange thing that it's like it attracts me more to it in that way, that it's just, it's not, it's so different, and it's so it's like way more subjective than everything else. I don't know how to, it's like very hard to define, and how people define it is so strange, because it's like, you know, guys that are like head to toe in Supreme are having the same, like, they might not fuck with what I'm doing or think that I'm you know, interested in fashion or whatever. And that's also, it's kind of valid. You know what I mean? It's like, there's not a better.
Yeah.
So it's and they're entitled to it.
No, it's a shout out to everybody trying to figure out their style, like authentically, you know, like that's a congrats to everybody engaging in that.
Yeah. We've really tried to, I mean, it's why we like lead with community and everything is here. It's like, it's really not about judging where you're at in the process, because it doesn't matter, you know what I mean? And the thing is too, if any person tomorrow could walk in here and make a very easily, I could probably do it to myself, make a compelling argument for something like Supreme or Bape or any of that kind of shit that I don't really fuck with personally, because it's just, it never resonated with me as a human being. Although I see it and I'm like, I get it, I know where this is from. I remember seeing Jason Dill in a Supreme shirt and thinking,
yeah,
he's really cool and edgy. Yeah, yeah. Like, there's like, anyone could make any given argument to me and convince me one way or the other. Like, I feel like I can float on anything in fashion. And I think there's a very few brands that you couldn't talk me into of being like, yeah, I mean, they're doing the thing they wanted to do. And I fully support anyone doing that thing. So
can I ask y'all a question?
Yeah.
When I was on my, like, you know, and it's forever, right? You're figuring out what you like, what you don't like. But when I was like really expanding my wardrobe, I remember going to Kyle Edson and was like, what are like wardrobe rules that you have? And like, you know, I was like, I have all these t-shirts. Should I throw them away? And I remember Kyle going, you can never have too many t-shirts. And and like, for me, like, as I've built out my wardrobe, one thing that I've been like, a pretty staunch believer in is you can never have too many pairs of black pants. Like, are there things that you all, as you build your wardrobe around, that are just like little pockets that really speak to you, that you're like, I'm always going to win on this?
Yeah. I mean, we've all got, I mean,
it's green pants for me.
Yeah. Right? Well, and I'm never going to go against the t-shirts thing as a guy who just vacuums, they spent his last week in vacuum sealing band tees. So I'm looking at them going, I don't need to keep them, but I can't get rid of them. So
I can't get rid of them.
Yeah. So I can't, you know, so I believe in that too, because I have to, otherwise I have to look at that storage space I have and go, I gotta make some changes.
Yeah.
So I believe in that as well. I'm a really big believer in like vintage jeans. I think it's the cheapest way to get like it'll never go out of style. You can participate from thousands of dollars down to like $20, maybe less if you're in the right place. Like, and you're always going to, someone's always going to be like, that's cool. It's, you know what I mean? Like, you can't, I mean, the question I answer most is, what jeans are you wearing? It's like, so it's vintage Levi's, dude. It's always vintage Levi's. Like, it's very rarely other stuff.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to know what they are. And sometimes I paid too much for them, and sometimes I paid nothing, and it doesn't matter. So, and I think it's like forever cool. Like there's nobody throughout the history of time who didn't think that was cool. Yeah, and I don't think it's ever going to change. So that's another totally easy one. White t-shirts look cool on everybody, like clean white tee. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the most useful thing that you can really have. What else?
I mean, yeah, I would say
stick to classics on shoes if you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're classics for a reason. Just do what resonates with you and look for whatever the icon thing is and do that.
Yeah.
Easy. If you wait like long enough, it'll go back into fashion. That's another easy one.
Yeah.
So like anything you have, you can kind of keep around 10 years from now, you can pull it back out and it'll be just as relevant.
I think something that we tell people a lot too, and that has worked for me, is like letting yourself off the hook. Like you don't have to be any one thing. If black shoes aren't working in your wardrobe, like you don't owe black shoes anything. You don't have to wear them. Like find something that you feel good and confident in. And when you put it on, you're like, you know, I feel good. I'm presenting myself how I want to be viewed. Just lean into that and you'll find ways to experiment by boxing yourself in that way. Like you really don't owe anything.
Everyone's got to get to like self-actualization on their own inside of fashion. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like at the same time, like I think that your true north should be how much do I feel like myself in the clothes? Like that should be sort of your true north, because I think the clothes, and look, you're changing too. So you have to accept that it's going to change, and that's because you're changing. Goes, but as long as you feel like comfortable and like yourself, like everyone knows what that feels like when you're like, I love this outfit. I will rewear this at some point because I feel good right now in it. And as soon as you feel good, you start to not think about it so much. Mm. As soon as you stop thinking about it, then now you're really, now you've got real style, because it's just sort of dripping out of you. Like you're just going to be kind of stylish no matter what, because you're paying attention. So get yourself to the point where you can pay attention to like the details and care about them and be interested on your own. But as long as you're doing it for yourself, you're fine. You know what I mean? I don't care what I don't care at that point.
Whatever you want.
You can just kind of tell the people that have hit that point, because they're the most stylish one. Haji was that way. I don't know if he was doing trends or not. I don't know where the fuck he was getting his inspiration from. I have no idea. But he was always ahead on it, and he was always emulating something that you could kind of reference in your head. And you're like, but it's uniquely him, because he's like, I'm sure he's still the same. He's a thin dude. Like,
yeah.
It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you got to work around your own things. So he probably doesn't want to wear huge baggy things, because that would be hard. Whereas like, I feel a little more comfortable. Like I'm always a when in doubt, size up kind of person. Oh. So it's like Chase is the same way, because that's just what I feel more comfortable in. But that doesn't make sense for everybody. That's just my thing. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know, just find what the fuck you like and then stick to that. Like, I think that's really the key. And then, cause you'll feel like yourself in it. And then you'll figure out how to flip it. Like, do you need 50 pairs of jeans like I've got? No. But do I have reasons for all of them? Because I think they're all doing something different. And you can only kind of like get to that point by like wearing a bunch of different kinds of jeans and being like, oh, if it was just this much different or this much better. And now I'm to the point where I'm not going to say I've offloaded. I got a lot of stuff ziplocked and put away, but I do have like a pair of like maybe five I work from now. Cause I'm like, they fit the five elements of what I needed them to be, but I needed to do years of personal research into like figuring that out. So that's what I think. I think that everyone thinks that like style is this like inherent thing that I either got it or you don't, but I don't really think that's the case. It's like how interested you are personally. And then it just sort of drips out from there. So I don't know if that's really good advice or not, but that's my style rules of like, figure out how to feel like yourself in clothes.
Yeah.
No, I think that's it. I think it's like, we have this friend who was also friends with Haji, Ama, and he, he's just amazing taste, amazing style. It always feels so effortless. And I think he's just gotten to the point where like, he kind of knows what his North Star always is in terms of getting dressed. And he's like pretty open to trying new things. And it just always looks effortless on him. Like he can put together kind of anything, and it's always going to look true to him. And I think
none of it would work for me,
which is fine.
Yeah, I also know that we get in a lot of trouble on this podcast for referencing people that nobody knows, but I don't care. We're too deep into this at this point. Did you know a guy in Chicago named Najee?
No,
I did not.
He worked at like RSVP, and he was just like in the fashion scene. This dude's the same way. Like he'd wear the craziest fucking shit I've ever seen. And still I'd be like, he looks like that. Just, it looked like he pulled what was organically in his closet. And like, it just, it looked like he inherited it. And it's like, it's crazy shit. Like I could absolutely not pull it off. No question. Couldn't even try. And I see it in him, and it feels so organic and normal. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what you want. Like, look, I'm from Indiana originally. Like, I'm not that interesting looking. You know what I mean? Like, I can't pull off certain things. Like, you just have to be accepting of, like, I got to be myself in the clothes. Yeah. So, like, you got to know where your limits are to a certain extent. Yeah. But also, if you're not sure and you're pulling, you got to pull off a weird hat for a little while. You do your thing. You know what I mean? Like, work it out. Because at least, if anything, you're like, I'm a little bit more confident after trying that crazy ass thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where I land on the whole thing. I just wish people would, like, I wish the gatekeeping and all that old Barney shit would die, because and I think it has to a certain extent, but I'm so sick of being like, you got to wear certain things, or you got to be a part of certain cliques, or you got, it's all just, we're all interested in the same type of shit. It's just how we're putting it together is different. So I just want it to be like one, you know, one big, you know, undefinable thing for everybody. It's just art at a certain point. We're all into the same shit. You know what I mean? If you go to a gallery, there's rich people in suits and there's a bunch of guys that dress like homeless people. And you're like, I don't know who's got the money in this room, but everyone cares about the same stuff. And that's all I'm looking for. I mean, that's what, you know, we grew up in like the hardcore scene. We're hitting all the things today that we talk about that people don't like. But like, that's the thing. Like, you might not all like the same bands, but we're all doing the same shit. We all care about the same stuff. I'm just trying to get back to that. That's what I want for the fashion scene at a certain point of like, everyone just likes the same stuff in the same way. We just all want to be passionate about the shit we like. So,
yeah.
And I think on the back end of all of this, like, this is like one of the, I don't want to call it a problem to solve, but it's like, this is like kind of one of the things that Kyle and I think about when we're making stuff. Like, how does it feel to us? Well, you know, is this going to resonate with other people? And it's like, when the decisions add up that are practical, that are like demanded of each individual piece, whether it's like the fabric or a detail or a silhouette, it's like the outcome is something that we feel reflects our personal style, like me and him, something that is going, like, to go back to what Kyle was saying, like, that you can live in for 10 years and grow with and watch it change with your wardrobe, because the whole spectrum of all of this is so dynamic. But how do we make something that we're still going to want to wear down the line, that other people will want to wear, that works with other things in your own style, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I completely agree with, like, that's the right mentality, I think, when doing clothes, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, this has been awesome. Yeah. So good to like, this is why I wanted to have you guys on. I knew that people would resonate with this, like, your lines of thinking. You guys are guys we fuck with. So, you know, how soon should people expect to see your clothes in our store, and where can they see your shit right now today?
Right now today, on the website, there's some, leftovers from past editions.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, Edson also just launched like really awesome collection of horn eyewear that is insanely affordable for its quality.
So good.
It's really incredible. It's like hard to really understand how nice it is from the images, like, because when you put them on, they just like clothes, they just disappear. We have the production for the release with you guys in Colorado right now. So,
hell yeah,
as soon as we can get it over to you.
Hell yeah. Sick. Okay, yeah. Cool. So soon.
Yeah, like very soon. Hopefully a couple weeks, a week or two. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, we're waiting on hang tags from the printer, and then they're coming over to you guys. So very, very soon. For that.
Don't walk.
In the shop.
Here we go. Cool. I mean, people will find it. We're gonna put it out there. We're gonna replug the pod. We're gonna do we'll do the whole work. So if you're listening, you know, check what they're doing out now so you can get a vibe. And then we're going to have all new stuff really soon. And we're really excited to launch with it. Guys, again, this has been a pleasure. Really appreciate you taking the time. Let's hang out soon when you're all in the same place.
Yeah, absolutely. Come out and see us.
Yeah, we'd love to do that.
Thank you guys for a lovely conversation.
Of course. Anytime, guys. Yeah. You guys take it easy. And we'll be talking about you soon. So
sounds good.
Take care.
Thank you guys. See you later, guys. Peace.